be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Alleluia. What if it's not true? What if all the women and all the apostles were lying? What if somebody did steal Jesus' body and put it someplace where no one has ever been able to find it? What if the resurrection accounts that we read in the Bible were added to the Bible long after Jesus died in order to make the rabbi from Nazareth look far more powerful and far more impressive than he actually was? What if the story of Easter is just that, a story? While those questions do indeed send shivers and chills up and down our back, those are questions that people have been asking for a very long time, perhaps even since that first Easter Sunday so many centuries ago. Praise God, my friends. Praise God that you and I know the truth. He is risen. Alleluia. Our sermon text for today is taken from the great resurrection chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 20, Paul says to us on this glorious Easter Sunday, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Since Paul himself was the one who had proclaimed to the Corinthians, "Christ has been raised from the dead," he was astonished. He was astounded that there were members of this congregation who were now claiming that there is no resurrection of the dead. And just as this astounded the Apostle Paul, so also it astounds you and me. There are people, right down to this very day, who deny even the possibility of a physical resurrection from the dead, even Jesus' physical resurrection from the dead. And if you are going to go by simply what you can see with your eyes, if you are going to abide by only what science and logic can prove, then no, there is no resurrection of the dead. All the evidence we have points to the conclusion that life always ends in death. You can fight it, you can deny it, you can ignore it, but death always wins. Death comes to everyone. Death is permanent. Death is final. Everyone who dies stays dead. But what especially astonished the Apostle Paul, and what especially astonishes us right down to this very day, is when a person who claims to be a Christian takes that very same stand without thinking through what that means, both for them as well as for others. That's what Paul helps the Corinthians and us to do in this portion of his letter. And so let's take some time today to think through what a denial of the resurrection would actually mean. Paul emphasizes two main points here in our text for today. The first point is this: if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ rose from the dead. Either his body is still in that tomb where it was placed on the day that he died, or as we said, somebody stole that body and placed it someplace where it simply decayed back into dust, just like every other dead body. If there is no resurrection of the dead, if not even Christ has been raised from the dead, not only is Paul's preaching useless, but the preaching and the teaching of every pastor and every teacher, every parent and every grandparent who has shared with you the glorious message of Easter, he is risen, their teaching and their preaching is useless. It's empty. It's foolish. It's senseless. Then each and every one of those individuals, including each and every one of us, is a false witness about God. Paul's second point is this: if there is no resurrection of the dead, if not even Christ was raised from the dead, then your faith is futile. That word can also be translated as worthless or useless. If our faith is worthless and futile, if our faith is empty of any real object, then that means that there is no benefit of that faith to us. No grace, no forgiveness, and of course, no eternal life. And what is worse, if our faith is futile, if it's empty, if it's worthless, then our loved ones who died believing and trusting in Jesus as their Savior from sin, then as Paul says, they're lost. They are ruined. If there is no resurrection of the dead, if not even Christ has been raised from the dead, that renders Christianity as just another one of many human philosophies that tries to help show you how you are to live your life here on this earth. If there is no resurrection of the dead, if not even Christ has been raised, then as Paul says in our text, we are to be pitied more than all men. Why? Why would we be pitied? Think of all the time and all the effort that we invest in following Jesus as his disciple. Think of all the resources and all the dedication that we pour into sharing the message of a risen Lord and Savior with people all across the world. If it is not true, if the Easter message was added to the Bible simply to make the rabbi from Nazareth look far more powerful and far more impressive than he actually was, then for the last 2,000 years, everyone who based their life and their eternity on the message of Easter, well then, my friends, then they look absolutely pitiful. Praise God that our sermon text for this glorious Easter Sunday does not end on that sad and depressing note. Praise God that Paul goes on to say in the closing verse of our text, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. Notice how emphatically Paul proclaims that Christ has indeed risen from the dead, just as he promised he would. It doesn't make any difference what anyone else says. It doesn't make any difference what anyone else believes. Purely by the grace and power of God alone, we believe, we know, we trust in that glorious message that the Easter angels proclaimed to those faithful women on that first Easter Sunday. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. What does this mean then for us, my friends? We see what it means when we go back to those two main points that Paul is emphasizing in this text. First, since there is a resurrection of the dead, since Christ has kept his promise and rose from the grave on the third day, then Paul's preaching and my preaching, then the preaching and teaching of everyone who joyously proclaimed the glorious message of Easter, their preaching and their teaching is not useless. It's not empty of any object. No, rather, it is filled with glory and joy and happiness. Since Jesus has kept his promise and has risen from the dead, that means that instead of being false witnesses about God, we are faithful witnesses about God, who the true God is, and what he has done to save us from our sins. Second, since Jesus has kept his promise and has risen from the dead, our faith is not futile or useless or empty of any object. No, rather, our faith is valuable and powerful and profitable. Our faith in the risen Lord guarantees that our Lord and Savior daily showers us with his amazing grace. He daily assures us that his resurrection guarantees that our sins are forgiven. He daily comforts us with the truth that because he lives, we too shall live forever. Since Jesus has kept his promise, since he has risen from the dead, we have the confidence of knowing that our loved ones who died believing and trusting in Jesus as their Savior, they're not lost, they're not ruined, no, rather, they are now living with their living Lord in the glory and in the perfection of his heavenly home. Since Jesus has kept his promise and has risen from the dead, we know that Christianity is not just another human philosophy. It is not just a guidebook on how to live our lives here on this earth. No, Christianity is the one true religion. Christianity is the only religion that is built upon a living Lord and Savior. Christianity is the only religion that has the power to transform us pitiful, mortal, sinful human beings into the dearly beloved adopted children of the Heavenly Father and heirs of his heavenly kingdom. Since Jesus has kept his promise and has risen from the dead, then as Paul says here in our text, we know that Jesus is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is where the reality of Easter Sunday becomes relevant for each and every one of us. Jesus' physical resurrection from the dead is proof. It's God's proof that one day we too shall rise from the dead. Unless Jesus comes back to this earth first, we will all die. Or as Paul says here in our text, we will fall asleep. But one day, one glorious day, we will all experience Easter on an individual, personal level. One day, one glorious day, Jesus will wake us up from the sleep of death, just as he woke Lazarus up from the sleep of his death. One day, one glorious day, we will join all the saints and all the angels in heaven, where we will bring all of our thanks and our praise to our living Lord and Savior, forever and ever and ever. What happened in Jesus' tomb on that first Easter Sunday so many centuries ago, it's real and it's miraculous. It is an event that was witnessed by real people, people who were willing to die rather than deny the reality of Easter. Just as Jesus himself rose to life after he was put to death on the cross for our sins, so also, our God is not going to abandon us to the grave when our mortal bodies die. Easter assures us that we can rejoice. Rejoice in the certainty of our own resurrection. Easter Sunday assures us that our faith is not built on the shifting sands of human philosophy or human logic. Easter assures us that our faith is built on the rock-solid foundation of an historical reality. Without Easter, our faith is futile. With Easter, our faith is phenomenal. Why? Because Easter gives us the confidence to believe and to confess the truth. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. To God be the glory. Amen.